Welcome to Irish Illustrated Insider, brought to you by Catanzari Financial Services. It is Florida State Week, and we have a little bit more to talk about today than we anticipated. With the news that came out Wednesday that Ian Book is dealing with a rib injury, we believe he's also dealing with a kidney issue. And although Notre Dame has not declared him out for the football game this weekend and might not, Brian Kelly may or may not on Thursday, we have every reason to believe that he will not be performing this weekend.
I think we've declared him out collectively. Yeah.
And probably Syracuse. We've heard nothing that would indicate that he would be back for Syracuse either. But just one step at a time. It looks like Brandon Wimbush moves into the starting lineup against a Florida State team that has struggled defensively, but one area where they have not struggled is against the run, and of course that's Brandon Wimbush's strength. So plenty to talk about here with regard to how Notre Dame matches up with Brandon Wimbush at quarterback. And, I had all these other things we were going to talk about, Drew Tranquil and his amazing recuperative ability, nice. But I guess we'll leave that for stories on IrishIllustrated.com and address mainly in this segment, and then, of course, in segment two, Ian Book, and then Florida State and how Notre Dame matches up against Florida State with Wimbush at quarterback.
Worse?
Yeah, worse.
Yeah, definitely. Dallas is right there? Yeah. Florida State's not as good as Syracuse, and you could argue that Notre Dame is going to have a harder time beating Syracuse without Ian Book than they would Wimbush. However, you need fewer points to beat Florida State than you do to beat Syracuse, and I think Brandon Wimbush can come up with a few touchdowns like he has. He's 24, 22, three touchdowns in the three games he played this year. You don't see Notre Dame scoring 35 often against a quality run defense facing Brandon Wimbush, but the real question for me is, although Brandon Wimbush has been prepared to start this game since Monday, is Monday the first time he's been prepared to start since he's been benched?
Yeah, that is a real concern. I've always been a little skeptical of some of the things Brian Kelly has said about
human nature, Brandon Wimbush, right?
Yeah, well he's been preparing and how engaged he is. I just need to see that actually
Saturday. He does not look engaged during a game.
No, I mean, it's also like just talking to people around the program. I'm just a little wary of like he's going to come in and boom. Let's say he comes in and the phrase would be pick up where he left off. I'm not sure what that actually means.
No. Well, how can he didn't hit the ground running when he was playing every week. Right. How is it going to happen now after 6-7 weeks?
Yeah, he played well considering that he clearly faced the greatest defense in the last 27 years of college football, we found out in the opener in Michigan. He was able to beat the defense that no one could possibly ever, since that moment, contain in any way, shape, or form.
You're being facetious.
I am being facetious, but he did play well in that game considering the opponent. It's a very good defense. He played well in that game. He jumped. Hey, it is not his fault that without Dexter Williams, Jafar Armstrong in his first game, and receivers that were getting blanketed, Brandon Wimbush didn't have a great day passing against Michigan. He did everything. We can't rewrite history. That guy played well considering the circumstances. The other two games is why this move was made. And my concern about Wimbush is not only human nature. Pete, you're talking to someone in the program. It is, they have gone away from the offense that Brandon Wimbush ran.
Yeah, you can't run the offense that Ian Book's been running with Brandon Wimbush when you have a quarterback who's 20% less accurate.
Mentally, Brandon Wimbush never thought he would see his offense back out there again. I cannot imagine he thought, we're going to get back to running me being the quarterback of this team and we're going to run the offense the way we ran it prior. Why would you?
Well, you can only imagine what Chip Long's going through this week as he clearly tones down what they can do. We have questions in the second segment about what they're going to do. I mean, you don't have a choice. You can't run what you've been running the last 6 weeks.
No,
you don't have a choice. You have to scale back I don't want to say dumb it down, but I mean, that's
dumb
an expression that you use in this situation. You have to scale it back to the extent where he can have success with what you call. You can't be calling all the RPOs and all the things that they were able to expand with Ian Book. It's just not going to work that way. And now you're counting on an offensive line that is in question, with the changes that they've had to make on the offensive line.
I think the run game could be enhanced because it's going to be a lot of zone read type stuff. But
and he never had Dexter all year, Brandon Wimbush.
No, no, he hasn't. You know, he really hasn't had this version of Dexter ever.
Right.
Because, I mean, this version of Dexter is new. You know, so I think that, you know, can you have a Michigan State style performance? Maybe. A lot of throws outside the numbers, a lot of deep shots. I mean, Florida State's down. Levante Taylor, the top corner's out for the game. So it's going to be difficult for Notre Dame to move the ball. If Wimbush comes out of this game and he has not carried 15 to 20 times, then I think something really off.
No, he absolutely has to carry 20 times.
You basically have to ride him into the ground.
Yeah, and you talk about
the run game.
You have Dexter Williams back, but Dexter Williams, when the offensive line is not blocking, when it's Pittsburgh or when it's basically Northwestern, it doesn't matter that it's Dexter Williams. He probably won't have room to run against the number six rush defense in the country.
I think still at play is a good start by a Brandon Wimbush-led team, a Notre Dame defense that gets up 13-0, 17-7. There is still this is Florida State, 2018. They're not coming back on people. They aren't showing fight at the end of games in 32-degree weather at night in South Bend.
It's going to be a lot colder than 32 degrees.
It's literally not.
High.
You're not all. You've injected Florida State with a little bit of hope, probably, and they're probably salivating, thinking we are going to kill a running quarterback right now instead of Ian Book throws the ball at 1.9 seconds and we don't know where the hell it's going. But it is the right team. I understand they have great athletes. It's the right team. If you get them down, it's over.
Well, it's a bad football team right now. They're 130th in the country offensively in third down conversions, 128th in rushing per game, 129th. I mean, we're talking about the
bottom.
Well,
there were 130 teams.
There's 130. That's last. 129th in yards per carry, 121st in turnover margin, 124th in penalties. I think I have one more. 117th in sacks allowed. It is astonishing that we're talking about Florida State.
Yes, that the fall from grace is remarkable. And Pete, you kind of pointed on I think it was our last podcast. What were they last year? They were actually.
They were 6-6 last year.
Well, they were actually like 4-6 at one point last year. They won their last couple games
win their
to
bowl
get
game
in.
Again. They were
7-6.
They won a bowl game.
I'm sorry, regular season, because they had to. I think they had a game canceled that they rescheduled to get to 6-6, so they could keep their ridiculous bowl
42-year bowl streak alive.
Hooray!
That's about to end.
They won in your favorite venue, the Independence Bowl, last year.
Oh, my God.
That's what Florida State was doing last year.
That's where they belonged last year.
Yeah, so this team, in terms of that, in terms of accomplishments and what you see on film, it's the right team to play with your backup quarterback. Now when you read Florida State previews on our site and go up and down the roster and you see five-star, 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 four-star, four-star, five-star, everywhere, you think to yourself, I don't know what's going on. They must be able to rise up and have one game in them. They kind of did. If you dissect the Miami game where they lost by a point, their offense was destroyed by Miami.
Is that the Miami that lost at home to Duke?
Miami's an okay team, right?
Okay.
Well, that's it's a rivalry game, of course.
If they could lose to Miami by a point, do you think they're not capable of staying within Brandon Wimbush from the point? So
we'll see.
They had 13 tackles for loss against Miami. Notre Dame has suffered more tackles for loss than Miami. That same Miami. So there is a modicum of ability here. However, when they play Clemson at home in the biggest game of the year, they had zero tackles for loss. So you're not exactly sure what you're going to get from Florida State.
I don't even know. I don't even
zero. How do you not
possible?
Have a tackle
how
for loss?
How can you be giving up 2.84 yards per carry over the course of 9 games and then not have a tackle for a loss in a game? I just, it doesn't make any sense. And then, you know, on the other side, we're well aware of the quarterback controversy and issues that Florida State is dealing with. DeAndre Francois apparently is not a favorite of his teammates, and James Blackman came into the lineup last week and threw for 421 yards. So, and Francois still says he's number one. And
if he starts, it's because of what we talked about yesterday before those interviews. It's because you can't start Blackman and go to Francois, because Francois will give you nothing all week in practice. And all week at the game, and when it's cold out, he won't even wear a uniform. So they have to go Francois, and then the guy that everybody likes in Blackman.
They have one of those big
he's going to have that on anyway. If he was the backup, they would ask him, and if Blackman got hurt, they'd ask him to take off the cape, and he'd just be wearing like a winter coat. He wouldn't even have his pads on. So you can't go to Francois second. He might start.
This will be one of the most watched pre-games of the opponent. It'll be similar to the Sun Bowl when we were you at Sun Bowl?
Yeah.
Of course you were.
Stormtrooper. Brewer outfits.
Clearly evident that the Hurricanes wanted nothing to do with playing, and it had
Who
just
did. I didn't want anything well, to do with covering
and the press box was like it would, the heat would turn on and then it would shut off and it would get really cold. But it, I mean, it was it snowed for people that weren't at the sun for people that didn't go to El Paso.
Yeah, why weren't you with us in 2010?
There was heavy snow the night before the game.
Do you remember how they got the snow off the field?
Folding chairs and a folding table.
Yeah, they were using chairs and a table to shovel it off the field.
They weren't prepared for that. It was a beautiful. It's a really a cool setting for the stadium, but
yes.
So anyway, they want nothing to do with that, and I can't imagine that. You think Florida State's motivated by, hey, Ian Book's not going to play? You think that's going to motivate them?
Maybe the first series they will be.
No, it's just Florida State is Florida State, and I think that the Ian Book situation, his absence or injury, really is going to have no impact on Florida State's state of mind. They're going to be as disinterested to play this game with Wimbush as they were with Book.
My only issue there is their state of mind in this game could be different if it's 3-0 at the end of the half, as opposed to 24-3.
That's different, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying like the beginning of the game.
Yes.
If Notre Dame can hold them down, like if basically if Notre Dame, I think in some ways will have to play something akin to, was it 2013 USC when Reese got hurt?
The 14-10 game?
Yeah, when Reese got hurt and then Hendricks came in. I mean,
don't bring that up.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think it's going to be that far off from that. I think if Notre Dame holds off Florida State, we're going to be spending a lot more time talking. We should be spending a lot more time talking about Clark Lee and the defense than what Notre Dame cobbled together at quarterback.
I would agree with that, and I would agree with the under, whatever it is, although that's going to be adjusted.
12.
That's like the Michigan game, I just bet the under.
I think I stopped short of your reference to the USC game in 2013.
That's hyperbole for the sake of my point. But Notre Dame's not going to move the ball up and down the field.
I would agree with that. I don't think it's not going to be 14. I mean, Brandon Wimbush is a more accomplished quarterback.
Write
than
this
that.
Down for Monday's podcast.
Yeah, you know what though? The offense, or Notre Dame's defense. If Book plays, the defense just plays better because against Florida State, because you get ahead by so much that nobody cares anymore on Florida State. And if you're in the game, obviously they call the game differently. But you would think that, let's say Ian Book didn't have a great day and Notre Dame scored 30 points, I would not think Florida State would score more than 13. So Notre Dame should be able to hold Florida State to 13 or 14 when the game and season depends on it as well. This defense will probably play an inspired, awesome game.
You know, one thing that just dipping back to remember you were talking to Fink and Boykin about press coverage.
My press coverage story just got better this morning.
They're going to press a hell of them now. You know what I mean?
I don't want to really go too deep into it for this podcast, but if you remember the two teams that really pressed Notre Dame were Michigan and Vanderbilt, and I know Wimbush was the quarterback. But do you remember Miles Boykin's stats in the Michigan and Vanderbilt games?
I don't understand. Like, I realize Florida State plays Florida State defense and Michigan plays Michigan defense. I would not press Notre Dame at all. I would invite Wimbush to throw short passes.
That's valid too.
And just see what happens.
As opposed to him reading it, not liking what he sees,
and throwing one-on-one jump ball type stuff, which is you get that a lot more with press coverage than you do with zone.
Yeah.
I don't think Florida State will change though, do you?
I think they're practicing right now, so. But I think it's unlikely they're going to put in a new defensive scheme.
I know
scheme.
That Notre Dame was really hoping that this news could wait until after they completed practice, which I think is which is at 11 a.m.
By the time you listen to this podcast.
Yes, yeah.
Half of those guys have no idea.
But they weren't able to pull that off. So, all right, more of the same in segment two.
Irish Illustrated Insider is brought to you by Anderson, Augustino, and Keller, attorneys at law, with offices in South Bend, Indiana, serving the local community's legal needs with a diverse and innovative group of lawyers. Let their team be your edge on legal matters. Contact the lawyers at Anderson, Augustino, and Keller at 574-288-1510 or visit their webpage at aaklaw.com.
Segment two of Irish Illustrated Insider brought to you by Anderson, Augustino, and Keller. It's our Burning Up the Board section. And we'll start with more questions about the quarterback position, starting with at Notre Dame Football Ditties. Will Ian Book be back for Syracuse?
Don't know. I mean, I picked up conflicting information on that. The first source that I talked to about this said no. He's out 2 weeks. And then talking to more people, they felt like maybe back for Syracuse. So I just have to sit with I don't know because I have conflicting information on that one right now.
We certainly heard I don't know, but the guess is no from most information gathered.
I have not heard that he might play against Syracuse. So until, you know, I mean, look, things can change 3 days from now, 5 days from now. You don't know. But as of right now, the probability seems low based upon what we've been told.
This doesn't mean anything, but my guy that has never really been wrong on these things said he's out for 2 weeks. Right. And was wondering aloud if they could possibly beat Syracuse.
I'm in the same boat with you, O'Malley, here. Like, my best source on this says 2 weeks.
And my West Coast source said 2 weeks to me as well. So so there we are. Yeah, add it all up and we'll see. And that's a lot more problematic than it is for Florida State with Brandon Wimbush, because you would expect with Syracuse, you know, you're going to have to score a heck of a lot more than you're going to need to score against Florida State.
I think if the weather's terrible for Syracuse back here in South Bend, it's going to be hard for them anyway, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Oh, wait a minute.
I can't believe this little thing we talked about all spring and summer, and it came up everywhere, is now the biggest thing there is in the Notre Dame football season.
It's the Hubris Bowl.
It is the Hubris run amok bowl. Yes.
Just imagine what Jack Swarbrick is dealing with, you know, I mean, we field comments about moving the game to Yankee Stadium, and imagine what, I know he's kind of insulated from a lot of these comments, but
it's not that insulated.
Yeah, not that insulated. I know a lot of it filters back to him, and you can just imagine. We're sitting here laughing. We're not going to laugh.
No, you didn't know what Notre Dame's record was going to be. You thought Syracuse might have 4 wins. It was just an oddity. Now they moved away. They could be 10-0 and not playing a home game.
I mean, I didn't think it'd be 4 wins, but I mean, you're thinking 500 because I knew Eric Dungy was back, and it's the next year.
Yeah, but he gets hurt. I did not see them this
scary.
No.
They're going to be 8-2. No, and they they play.
They will be
they play Louisville tonight.
They are if you have a confidence pool this week. You could actually take them over Alabama in this week's confidence
pool. How about a -21, which is what they are?
Over 109?
We're of course, making fun of Louisville and their defensive coordinator situation and their defense in general. But anyway, back to the original question. It does not look like Ian Book will be playing next week either, but we will know more as each day passes by. At Dan O'Brien, 1972, do you think Phil Jurkovec will start over Brandon Wimbush?
No and hell no. I mean, there's zero chance of this happening.
Right. Well, Wimbush has been preparing to start not only theoretically. Wimbush has been preparing to start since Monday. Theoretically, there's a 0% chance of this happening, even if that wasn't actual information.
All right, so what is the chance of Jurkovec playing after Wimbush, say, struggles for a quarter and a half?
How bad are the struggles?
They're losing by 10 points.
And he has 2 picks.
He's warming up.
Yeah.
Have to have him ready.
Yeah.
He's the backup quarterback. Yeah, he's been taking the backup reps. I'm sure that's not verified, but he was part of the scout team versus Navy. Yeah. They had 3 quarterbacks. Remember?
I mean, yeah. Pretty much all year, he's been a scout team quarterback, not a.
And I'm sure they give him some stuff because that's Kelly tries to give those guys that are
just not. Much.
But the sight unseen notion of just start Phil Jurkovec. I mean, what do you think this is? It's not a board game. I mean, it's not a video game. It's
That's
real
the better
life.
Reference. Yes, it's I was trying to see the board game.
Sorry,
that animatronic football game.
I just showed my age. Boy, I had some.
What do you think this is, Parcheesi?
We thought those games were so cool.
Oh,
man.
They were. Yeah.
Where you spin the dial.
Then 10-yard fight came out where they all move in one way. Kind of looked like the Michigan offense this year.
I played on the electric guys running out of bounds, running into the wall game. But I mean, this is real life, man. This is a damn playoff bid on the line. Well, first of all, as a fan, or even as a member of the media in this case, we have no idea what Phil Jurkovec has looked like on the practice field. He didn't look very good in the one opportunity he had against Wake Forest, which is unfair to judge on. But for a fan to say it blindly, just play him, is nonsense.
I'd say more important, he is probably getting the second quarterback reps all week, because if you're just going with Wimbush as your starter, you're not assuming that, oh, well, if Brandon doesn't work it out, then we'll put in bruised kidney and broken ribs, and that's, Ian Book. That's not...
That's different. We're struggling. We need to see what our second team quarterback can do.
Brandon, we are not saying that Brandon Wimbush will have two picks and they'll be down 10 points at the end of the middle of the second quarter, right? We're saying, what if? That would get Dracovic in. We're not predicting that to
happen. I'm not saying anything.
You're not saying anything about that, huh? No, I would... he's got to be ready, because Brandon Wimbush is going to run, as you guys said, and he's going to get hit.
That's true. By athletic, large human beings.
See the nose tackles, 375?
Yep. Yep.
It's a true freshman.
Yeah, you know, I didn't yeah. actually, I hadn't I, gotten that far I in studying Florida State it. That I didn't know.
Well, our preview on... Irish Illustrated this week for Florida State was one of the more well-written and chiding insider previews of all time, and he kind of went through the whole roster of five stars, but he's a 375-pound true freshman nose tackle.
Is that in there?
And I asked, that's in there. And I asked Mustafa about it, and Mustafa's like, it's a big boy, man. Yeah, yeah. He didn't
shy away from saying, whew, That's a lot of man I'm going to be going up against.
God, they have to have some bad coaching going on at Florida State right now.
There's bad coaching, which leads to bad attitudes. Yeah. And because it's Florida State, and because they're accustomed to literally competing for national titles on a yearly basis, I know they didn't last year, but still, I mean, attitudes are even worse because that's just not what they're accustomed to.
Next from Twitter as well, at CJ Nachtigal. How do you expect the game plan to change now that Wimbush is the starter?
I think we kind of addressed this a bit in the first segment. I mean, you can't stick with what you're doing. Think about what Notre Dame's offense was before Ian Book took over, and I mean, by and large, that's what you're looking at. I don't know what other direction you can realistically go.
Yeah, I think the be closer to last year, where you just really want to rely on the run play action, and Wimbush runs a lot. Right? We got to throw out the ball state. They, no matter what anybody ever says, they told Wimbush not to run in that game. Otherwise, he doesn't. Does it not run ever for no reason whatsoever? They didn't say don't run. They said protect yourself. Let's work on
this. And probably they didn't have designed running plays, and he didn't want to take off and run from the pocket.
Together, they didn't run.
Right.
You won't see that. You will not see the Ball State game plan. I think you'll see the Michigan game plan.
Probably. I mean, he had 19 carries in the Michigan
game. And what exactly is that?
Run it. Just run it, and throw it deep.
Take some shots.
That's the Michigan game plan.
He took shots. You think about it. Obviously the Fink, you remember, the outside passes to Boykin and Mack in the first half. Claypool had those long delayed crossing routes involved. Those are things to read because you can get it depending on the. You're not calling it on 3rd and 11, right? But you can call it on 2nd down. Claypool has really emerged as a much better player since then. I know it's because of the quarterback partly, but he is a confident guy, right? Now he goes into the game confidently. I hope that if things go wrong, Fink and Boykin will maintain their heads. You got to hope Chase Claypool can still focus.
I just would love to be a fly on the wall in the Notre Dame offensive meetings this week. You know, I mean, Chip Long... You know, I mean, I'm sure he figured that, hey, the playbook is a open book, so to speak, and it's just not that. And he has to come up with something that's a little bit more creative than what they had pre-Ian Book, but he can't go overboard because he needs to have some consistency and some success.
I will say that Chip Long was rightly put up for the Frank Borrell's Award.
He can win it this weekend.
He can win it in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, Pete, what do you expect?
I mean, I think a lot of deep shot passing game type stuff. I don't know how they could really do anything else. Michigan, to me, in some ways, is like the best case scenario. You know, Wimbush typically has started quickly. We can sort of get into like a flow and practice something all week. It's good. It's the adjustments. Like, if Notre Dame is losing at halftime, I would be terrified if I was Notre Dame.
Are we giving... I know that there's an opposite opinion from people that have watched Florida State all year, and I think they'd be saying you're giving Florida State way too much credit here.
I saw a great tweet that said, as a Florida State fan, y'all can have Brian Kelly run the triple option, and you're going to kill us on Saturday.
I mean, I just... Somewhere in between is reality there, I'm sure. But... You know, I, for those that have watched Florida State all year, I, I, I don't think that they believe that this is going to make a huge difference, which I disagree. It's got to make a fairly significant difference at the least.
Yeah, I think it makes a huge difference, but that's why I wanted to clarify we're not saying that it's going to be 10-0 yeah. Florida State in the second quarter, because that would definitely surprise me. I think Brandon Wimbush will struggle at times in this game to move the ball just like he did against Vanderbilt. I'm even throwing out Ball State, like he did against Vanderbilt and Navy and Stanford.
Yeah, but situations. I mean, not only has he not been playing the last 6 weeks, but he hasn't been preparing like he would when he was playing.
Completely agree, and that's how we started this podcast. Right. I can't imagine he has been. Like, if he has been, all time, all the credit in the world, because they went away from his offense. He'd be preparing for something. He's been practicing stuff that he's not good at behind Ian Book and whatever amount of snaps he gets. So, hey, mentally locked in is number one, because obviously they're not going to run that offense.
I mean, this is... The short passing game has been such an advantage to Notre Dame lately, and that all sort of like vanishes on Saturday night. I mean, the three games that Wimbush has played or started the season on throws 5 yards or less, 17 of 23 for 88 yards. Ian Book's efficiency on those short passing games is about twice as good in terms of the yards per attempt.
Which is the point of those throws.
Yeah, so that's like if it's a real extension of the running game, those are effective plays. But when Wimbush is throwing him, I think Sean McDonough referenced Chip Long told him before Wake Forest, that every short pass feels like the catch of the day because these receivers and tight ends have to dive for it or jump for it or fall down on the ground
for it. Or the timing isn't good. And we've talked about that, about how with Book you can get your head and hips around. And I mean, yards after the catch, I don't know what the number is, but it has to be a majorly significant increase under Ian Book and a probable drop this weekend. 317 Mike, changing the topic a little bit here.
Yeah, let's get to other parts.
And there are probably some questions here that pertain to like Kevin Austin that just aren't going to come into play right now. But what do you
at all this weekend?
Yeah. What do you guys think about moving Alohi Gilman to nickel and Houston Griffith to safety, his more natural position? The nickel situation continues to be a red flag, and I haven't seen the lineup seen that in the lineup out there yet. What is the fix at nickel?
Man, they have tried a lot of options here. That would be the next one, I guess. I'm not really sure what
game 10.
That's the
game
issue.
10.
I mean, would they try like three or four different options in game 9?
Yeah, it's not. You know? It's not an acute enough problem. Yes, they hit Northwestern hit a touchdown pass this week on Houston Griffith, who, God, you'd love to see some football ball skills in
Please
that situation.
Remember that play the next time you say, why don't they turn and look for the ball? Because it was a touchdown because he tried to turn and look for the ball.
The nickel situation, the one thing they cannot do any more of, I don't think, unless there's a drastic change, is having Dante Vaughn at corner. As much as I love the Julian Love being chasing guys around the field and stuff, I think Florida State will go right at Dante Vaughn at corner.
Sure.
And they have the guys to do it.
Yeah, I don't... I wrote this...
I'd rather see Griffith come or out. Coleman and keep it the way it is.
What I would rather see is Elliott and Gilman at safety and Love move to nickel and Bracey play.
Okay, that's...
Yeah. And I don't know why... Well, Bracey's in the doghouse is why it hasn't happened. But I feel like that... To me, that's the solution that makes the most sense, opposed to taking Alohi Gilman down and then moving Griffith
and
back.
Brian Kelly seemed to strongly indicate that Bracey's back in the mix this week.
And supposedly, just from talking to Julian Love in a post-practice interview, apparently Dante Vaughn broke his hand this year, had a shoulder problem, so the injuries continue. Those things aren't announced usually by Notre Dame, but Julian was kind of sticking up for his teammate. Yeah. He was saying, you know what, he's coming on. He had a rough beginning of the year. And the beginning of the year would be when he's played a little. He said he got hurt.
Right. At @bman_2017, with Notre Dame's success this season, there's a chance a number of guys leave early. Who is most likely?
You know, it's like I heard that Miles Boykin was coming back, and then I asked him yesterday, and he was like, yeah, I'm not making a decision. Like, we'll see.
I had heard the opposite of that actually. Okay. That he was eager to move
depart.
To move on. Mm-hmm. I mean, not dissatisfaction with Notre Dame, but eager.
He
to
wouldn't move on.
On
somewhere else. You're
and,
the NFL,
and, right? Yeah, and sure. Greg Gabriel has told Irish Illustrated that you know the scouts are definitely interested in Miles Boykin now. He's getting off the line of scrimmage better than he used to. And a lot will, you know, as he likes to say, stopwatch-driven position, and a lot will depend upon that. But
yeah. I think you can
And he's not leaving early. He's a senior.
Yeah, right? That's my point I was about to make is if you're Notre Dame and Miles Boykin leaves, good job, man. You did everything for us. The issue is, before this year started, it wasn't. Now, I know he's graduating and everything, and they come in early, but Khalid Kareem and Julian Okwara were not on the leave early radar of scouts. They might have been in their own minds. Yep. They are now on the leave early radar of scouts because those two get after it. And as you've pointed out for a long time, Kareem is...
He's
graduating in December because he enrolled early.
Right.
I forgot he enrolled early because he didn't make an impact as a freshman other than we scorned Brian Van Gorder for putting him in there for a play. Right. Well, don't worry about that. He's not coming back for a fifth year in 2 years anyway, Khalid Kareem. So Julian Okwara, that dude gets around the corner, man. If he gets advice where you could take bad advice too because I do not blame Julian Okwara for thinking he can go the next level and rush the passer.
Yeah. I think the three most likely are Julian Love, Khalid Kareem, and Chase Claypool definitely has an interest in leaving.
He has that weird interest since he was like 17 and a half, though, so I'm hoping he could get talked out of it. Does that make sense?
Mac was interested in leaving before he plays with the physicality and the approach that he has the last couple weeks, I'm sure he's moving up the chart. But I think those would be the three. Okwara, I mean, it's hard to deny the productivity is tremendous. I'm not sure that that's where his head is.
I hope his head's nowhere near there.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, whereas I think with the other three, and, you know, I mean, Julian Love loves being a Notre Dame and what have you, but...
I think Love might get a good grade, though.
Yeah, now his 40 time is going to work against him.
Right, but that's before he gets the grade. I mean, that's after he gets the grade. That's the issue.
That's correct.
He's getting to get the... They're going to look at his film and think, yeah.
They could... I mean, the Boykin, Kareem, Okwara group... Before the year, I would have said, well, duh, all three of those guys are coming back for 2019. If you remove them from the roster, then Notre Dame, it'd be a bit of a rebuilding.
You can lose Boykin. You can lose wide receivers. You can't lose these two pass rushers. It's the same thing I said is that different. They're younger. McGlinchey and Nelson were totally irreplaceable players. Okwara and Khalid Kareem for next year are completely irreplaceable players.
Kareem and Okwara, I think they're significantly better pass rushers than Dalen Hayes.
Yes, and I think they're really good against the run, and people do not give Julian Okwara enough credit for what he does against the run.
I totally agree. I'm astonished at how strong he is against the run.
He did tell us it doesn't matter what he weighs. He's multiple every time. That tired, media-driven spring conversation, August conversation, I don't know what I weigh, man, was his answer. You know what? Yeah. He doesn't need to worry about what he weighs.
No, he does not. Okay, so the question about Kevin Austin, I'm going to go ahead and at ND Zach. Kevin Austin looked pretty good with the ball in his hands across the middle a couple of games ago. He's speaking about the Navy game. Any reason we don't see him more in that capacity?
Here at Irish Illustrated, we like to answer the pressing questions of the week in the wake of the Ian Book injury news. So Kevin Austin, the fifth receiver, that's a good question, though. Normally, this would be a great question, but it's a weird one right now.
It was before the book.
I'm kidding. I know. This part of this was printed early.
B-Man asked good questions.
I really liked what Michael Young showed last week, too. So the Austin coming on a little bit on that catch versus Navy where we talked about looking full speed and everything. Michael Young, obviously they integrated him back in. I like the direction the receivers are going with Book going into this game. I thought they were actually going to get either Austin or Young would have a good day against Florida State. One of the two, not both. I mean, now I think it's just a step back for those other receivers.
I mean, one question ago, we were talking about Boykin and Claypool going pro. So...
That's the biggest issue here.
Rotating guys in and taking pros out doesn't make a lot of sense. Do I think Kevin Austin was going to play a little bit more than he has when the season started? Yes. I think he was in for one passing play last week. But Boykin and Claypool have been so good, I have no interest in taking
him out. The reality is that Brian Kelly doesn't really like rotating his receivers. He never has as long as he's been a Notre Dame.
Boykin actually mentioned yesterday, I kind of talked to him about slow starts, and he said, he said they've been seeing a lot of coverages they don't prepare for, that they don't see on film. He just said this is the nature of when you're playing us, you're trying to do something to our offense we haven't seen because that can slow us down. I think people are going to take that wrong when they see in the story that they're not seeing things they see in practice. But he said, nope, we just get on the sidelines, talk to each other. And he literally said, Claypool and I rotate so much at boundary and field, we just talk to each other, we can sub for each other and let each other know what's going on. That's why you don't see these other guys. They don't need to take them out.
Right.
They're not sprinting back and forth. It's like... Stay on the boundary. I'm on the field.
Kevin Austin's going to be a really good receiver at Notre Dame, but they don't rotate him. They don't rotate often, and there's no reason to rotate now when two guys are playing as well as they are.
And my long tangent there, I don't think you're going to see a lot of Kevin Austin this week.
No,
I don't either. Go Fight, Win, Go Irish. Pitt showed the blueprint for shutting down the running game and keeping the game close. Northwestern duplicated it with success, too. Do you expect Florida State and the rest of Notre Dame's opponents to do the same and force Notre Dame to pass their way to victory? Can Notre Dame win out without the O-line playing at a higher level? I guess that's an old question.
Yes and no.
Still applicable.
I think Florida State will do the same and make Notre Dame pass, and I don't think Notre Dame can win
out. Even with Ian Book, they would have done that.
Yes, and I don't think Notre Dame can win out without the O-line playing at a higher level, because now they need the O-line to support the backup quarterback.
Right. It's a difficult situation.
It is. We're not trying to joke around about this, but it's not even close to the level of play between the quarterbacks. I don't care he's 12-3. This change was made when he was undefeated because the level of play was so poor. So the sugarcoating it now would be
you're going from 100% of the playbook to 30?
I don't know.
35?
And you're cutting out the good stuff.
The stuff that you're running, watching. You're only running the stuff that doesn't work now. Yeah, is that what's going on?
Maybe I saw those accurate passes.
Maybe 35 is unfair. But that, and Pete, that's exactly what it comes down to. You can't throw. I wrote it in today's Thursday Thoughts, which I have to update before we post it. going through the Northwestern game again.
Get that leading with Kevin Austin.
Now, going through the Northwestern game again. You know, I keep a play by play. Not everybody does that, but that's the way I've always done it, and I always will.
I think all three.
And how many times? How many times? But I mean, I really like everything I need to know is on those 8 pages. How many times when I was going through the game, the second guy, the TV version, I wrote after a book pass, perfect, perfect, perfect. I think I wrote it like 7 times in the Northwestern game. And it's not just where the ball is, it's when the ball gets there and how the receiver is able to react after it. It's just, that's what it comes down to. When you talk about the playbook, that's what it comes down to, because you just can't run it without that accuracy and timing.
He's accurate within being accurate, if it's possible.
Yeah.
And I wasn't disparaging Brandon Wimbush there. He's a capable quarterback that has done some great things at Notre Dame running the football. Ian Book is just on a different plane, a different level of quarterbacking, to the point where when the Heisman questions we laughed at because Tagovailoa exists. So, like, if you didn't say Heisman, though, if you just said, hey, let's take away Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa, where do you rank Ian Book? We'd have thought, I don't know, maybe
there's
2.
There is a top 5, so, I mean, you could make an argument for that. So
you just, I guess, you know who was going to win it. That guy's been so good. But to point out that he is being brought up in that realm of conversation is how good he's been in 6 games.
Right.
I mean, the image that we all have burned in our brains is preseason when Ian Book is dropping the ball into the middle cutout within the net and Wimbush is struggling to just sort of make contact with it.
You think that mattered?
We'll never forget that day in Notre Dame Stadium, will we?
No.
It was like the most indicative thing that I think we were all like, we're kind of talk ourselves out of it. Ian Book lets... The reason Notre Dame's receivers have been so good is because Ian Book's accuracy lets them be as athletic as they actually are.
No doubt about it. Absolutely. I love the receivers, and it's hand in hand. I talked quite a bit about the receivers the last few weeks, but it's because of Ian Book putting the ball there.
No doubt. Sean G15, can you recall a team as talented as Florida State playing so poorly over the course of a season? I understand they have a new coach, a new system, but I've been surprised at just how bad they are looking at the recruiting talent that has accumulated over a long period of time.
I think Brian Kelly touched on it without making it obvious he was touching on it. He said sometimes he's taken over programs and you go in and you have some good stuff and you try to build on it. Sometimes you go in and it's a 180. Then he said, I haven't been in that building, so I can't tell you, which was smart for a coach to do. I could tell you that they had a 180 in the system and they trying to rely on some of the guys that were poor cultural fits for Taggart's system and for any new coach, because it really went downhill under Jimbo. I mean, let's not forget, this is Taggart's first year and they were terrible last year. They needed a 100% culture change, and they waited a year, and I don't think you can do that. I think he thought, I have so much talent, I can make it work.
Because they do.
They do, but you can't, you know what, that talent is, it's developing talent under and get him to play, and they're not all playing that way. They're just not. They don't come close to playing to the level of talent they have.
For them to be ranked in all those categories that I mentioned, it's totally insane. But, you know, I mean, offensively, it all starts with their offensive line. They have another offensive lineman hurt. I think they've started.
Yeah, well, the guard is out.
Yeah, I mean, Minshew. Yeah. I mean, is this going to be like their?
They have not had the same offensive line
weeks
start
in a
two
row.
Weeks in a row.
It'll be 10 games that they have not had the same
line. Our insider, Lee Posey, said, this is the worst offensive line I've seen at Florida State since Bobby Bowden took over the program and changed the talent level. Now, that's a long time ago.
Yeah. Since he came from Samford.
So, whether that's 100% true or 90% true, it's remarkable that that is going on, right? It doesn't have to be accurate.
It's predominantly
true. It's in the ballpark. So.
No, and, you know, injuries contribute to it. But it seems we've been saying that about Florida State several times in recent years, which is crazy. It should not be that
way. Just looking back, I couldn't figure out when the drop started off. And you go out to Winston, obviously, is the major drop off. But, like, in 2016, they were still at 5.3 yards per carry. And in 2015, they were Notre Dame level, the DeShone Kizer year. I mean, if you look at them, you just keep seeing Notre Dame, Florida State, Notre Dame, Florida State. They're both 10-3 teams. Yeah. So the drop-off was precipitous from 16 to 17. Now, I will say, they used to have Dalvin Cook, but the 14, 15 to 6, like 5.3 is really good, but they were astronomical before that with Winston and Cook and those guys. So I think it's part of it. But boy, the offensive line, he must have stopped recruiting offensive linemen.
I don't think their offensive line has been good for quite some time.
I think Winston and Cook covered up for it.
Yeah, which Winston and Cook can do.
Yeah.
I mean, they were that good. I mean, do we not remember the 2014 game where Jerron Jones, like, threw Florida State's offensive lineman all over the field?
Yeah.
Jerron Jones did that. You know, that's not Stephon Tuitt or Justin Tuck out there. So they were susceptible to that. But I think what we're talking about more has to do with, like, their performance at Boston College last year, where they just didn't give.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to say, they did not give it.
You can't be at 5.3 yards per season with what they have now.
Right.
That's the difference.
Imagine what Cam Akers is. I mean,
he's lightning quick too.
Imagine what he's thinking. What was the stat, Pete, you had about contact?
Let me see if I can find it. But
two of the three worst, right?
It was, I think, two of the three or the two worst. Oh, here it is. This is David Hale over at ESPN. There are only two Power 5 backs with a minimum of 70 carries, averaging less than 1 yard before contact, and they are Cam Akers at 0.78 yards per contact.
Oh, my God.
And Jacquez Patrick at 0.5.
Before contact. Yes, so it's all on the line.
Patrick can't even get touches. I mean, their running game's so bad that Akers is going to get most of them, and they can't go to it. There was a reason they threw for 421 yards last week, because they don't have options in the running game. I can't imagine a Cam Akers is. Can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine how many disgruntled?
That's the thing about the. That's what I was talking
that's
about.
That's where they are.
The change. They're disgruntled. Yeah. They're angry. They hate their starting quarterback. Team. I mean, just what I was given. They hate their starting quarterback.
Francois.
Yes, Francois. They love the other guy. The other guy's going to play. I mean, Blackman is going to play against Notre Dame. It just matters when.
No doubt. But that, you know, now we're talking about a guy that's barely played any quarterback this year.
Yeah.
So that'll be a good match for Notre Dame's quarterback.
Yeah,
Saturday.
He was the quarterback when they played at Boston College and got absolutely housed.
Yeah, it's just they like. I'm not saying he's good or they love him. I'm just saying that he's not hated.
They don't have a respect deficit.
Right, they'll play for him.
Think about that. Last year, I mean, here's a true freshman thrown to the wolves with that offensive line. He had no chance. To be successful.
Right. Yeah, that's no shot.
Now he's a sophomore with no chance to be successful with that offensive
playing
line.
Playing against the best pass rush he's seen.
Last question from at Bryant Swint. How does Florida State upset Notre Dame this week? What has to happen?
I think staying in it early. So, Pete, you mentioned Wimbush's opening drives and his quick starts. Don't let that happen. Don't get down early to Notre Dame, because you get belief in your team. You keep the game as close as you can, and all you have to do is grind out a touchdown drive and a couple field goals to stay in it. I'm not saying that wins the game. But if you put game pressure on Notre Dame because it's 20-13 in the fourth quarter, there's only one team with game pressure, with Brandon Wimbush in at 20-13 in the fourth quarter. So it's stay close and make Brandon Wimbush beat you throwing the ball downfield no matter how it happens. Just stop. They will have to stop Notre Dame's running game and maybe Wimbush beats you because he can throw the ball up to tall guys, right?
Yeah.
But that's the way to do it, is to stay close, put doubt in his mind. And at that point, you try to steal the win, right? They're not going to go out and house Notre Dame. You've got to steal the win.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm saying it. A special teams gaffe by Notre Dame.
That can't happen, though. Right?
What?
You did not catch the sarcasm. Okay. All right. The look on your face, like, Pete, come on.
There's just Notre Dame would have to contribute to its own demise, which it has done from some times this season. I think ultimately Florida State is just not good enough offensively.
Yeah, they would have to do anything. They would have to really overachieve offensively against.
But, like, could you have a broken play where Cam Akers takes an 80-yard run? Yeah, that's possible. But I think you'd probably need, like, two or three of them in addition to a special teams miscue.
You know what? I just kind of envisioned the South Florida game.
God. What? Why?
Not that many turnovers, but just the point where you have three turnovers.
Oh, in order for them to win.
For to win. They have three turnovers, they make one nice touchdown drive, and you gifted another one. You know, and all of a sudden you're in a
return touchdown from inside
okay,
5 yards.
So
not
they, that level. They've got to be better on they've got to be better on third down, because there's 129 teams in the country that are better. So that's one thing.
When did they add this 130th team to make Florida State the 130th everywhere?
Yeah.
They're going to have to suddenly get disciplined and not average just shy of 10 penalties per game, which, considering they're playing Notre Dame, I'm sure that
no penalties.
I'm sure there'll be a handful of holding calls that will be overlooked, because it will be an ACC refereeing crew, and they're instructed not to call as many holding penalties because it hurts the flow of the game. I go over on Florida State has to be a lot better in a lot of areas if they've been lousy in all year.
Yeah. Yep. But that was asking what has to happen. It's not like we're just saying it's going to happen. That's the question, man.
Because at the end of the day, the greatest weapon that Notre Dame has is the better defense here.
Yeah. I feel like if Notre Dame loses this game, and I'm not predicting that at all, and we'll get to that, it's 20-13 going the fourth quarter. The game pressure's on Notre Dame. They don't get the touchdown they need to put it away. And all of a sudden, Florida State has a chance. And all you need is some crap against a nickel or something like that to get a play. You know that one missed tackle can happen. So that's how I feel like they do it. They hang around.
Last thing.
We have a.
No, we're not. No, we're skipping those. Last thing.
Oh, well, it's a weather question.
You have the weather forecast here. That's the last question.
Do you think the weather will take away deep shots and long throws for both sides? On and off snow showers early, peaks of sunshine later with a high of 31. That is not at night. Winds northwest 15 to 25 miles an hour and 40% chance of snow. That's the daytime. The nighttime.
Well, thank God it's a day game.
Drops to 23 and with continuing winds.
I'm really looking forward to is my post-game interview with the local NBC affiliate.
Can't hear anything.
On the field after the game. That'll be fun.
So we come to the point where it was going to be a really easy week at this segment, but got a little harder.
Yeah.
The predictions. I don't believe Notre Dame will play down to Florida State's level overall in this game. What I said, 20-13 fourth quarter, I'd be worried about Wimbush closing it out, but I think Notre Dame will get on him at some point. And because of what we've said all week about Florida State's culture and the weather they are facing and how much you don't want to play in these games, if Notre Dame gets ahead, I've lowered it to, I have Notre Dame winning 30-13 still.
Notre Dame's not getting out of the 20s.
You know, out of the 20s, or not out of the 20s, okay.
Yeah, they'll get into the 20s, which will be enough to win.
Yeah.
But I don't think this game is going to look very much different at the end than Vanderbilt, Ball State, or Michigan. I mean, I think it's going to be that kind of game. So I'll go Notre Dame 23, Florida State 13.
That was my original, but I feel like I'm giving not enough credit to Notre Dame. But I like your call, too. I like your call, Pete.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll have my prediction in Friday's preview. It'll be somewhere along these lines, much lower scoring than I think any of us anticipated. I was looking in the upper 30s at the worst before, and I'm going to obviously scale that back. But I do stick to the notion that Florida State's going to have a very difficult time scoring. So take the under, although that number, of course, will be adjusted.
The line
as well.
Whatever it is. The line has dropped to 16 in the hour and a half of.
Yeah, it's going to drop a whole lot more. All right, thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope to have a little bit better news for you in our...
it won't be worse.
No. Saturday when we get to Notre Dame Stadium, although the weather probably is not going to cooperate. So thanks for joining us on Irish Illustrated Insider.
Thank you for listening to the Irish Illustrated Insider podcast. If you enjoy our coverage of Notre Dame football, please consider supporting the podcast with a small donation.
go to irishillustrated.com/support. Your support will help Irish Illustrated continue to be the leader in coverage of Notre Dame athletics.